Good evening, everybody. Again, good to see you all. Does anybody else like rainy Sundays? I love when it rains on Sundays for some reason. I guess it just keeps me from being tempted to go outside and get into things and have a day of rest. I just like it. And before we get started, I had a request this morning. Okay, and here it is. Mike, it didn't go over so. I saw Brother Mike asked me. He said that I think he was concerned that my sermons were getting a little bit dry and boring, and people were falling asleep and stuff. So he wanted to hear me speak in tongues. And I told him I didn't think it was going to go over so well. The Bible says not to do that unless there's an interpreter. So unless you want to interpret Brother Mike for me, okay, that's all right. John 3:16. That's right. Okay. Yeah, we'll go back to Inglesi in Proverbs chapter 16. Okay. Sorry about that. I think I hear crickets. So. He'll translate it for you. Don't worry. Proverbs 16. Where are we at here? Okay. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Okay, the Word of God says this. It says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." Lord God, we ask your help here tonight, Lord. We come to you. Really, it's an hour of need for us. Our country's in bad shape. And I just pray that you give us understanding today and help us to know what you would have us to do. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I guess I didn't plan it this way. It's kind of going to piggyback a little bit off of what Brother Mike was talking about this morning. I'm sure a lot of you have been probably watching the news some recently. And the lack of wisdom going on in this country right now is just blinding. I mean, it's incredible, some of the stupidity. I go to the gym most mornings before work, and they have all the TV screens up there, you know, with the news channels and stuff. And I'm just going to tell you, some of them news stations are, especially CNN, I mean, it is horrible, the amount of propaganda. They're just intentionally trying to fan the flames. It's so obvious. It's a 24-hour cycle of negativity. If you actually look right up above there in verse 29, where we just read, it says, "A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good." Boy, that's big time going on now. He's got this mob kind of mentality, you know, thinking people, violent people, getting other people to do things that they might not normally want to do. And as I've been watching this stuff over the last few weeks, I found myself getting angry. I mean, really mad, you know. And the more I thought about it, though, the more I thought, you know, that's really the way that Satan would want me to be. I think he would want to make other people angry at this stuff that's going on. It says in the verse that we read there, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty." We should be slow to anger. Okay, and that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight is our emotions as a Christian. I don't know that this subject is very well understood sometimes by God's people, so we want to talk about it. It's certainly not understood by those in the world that are causing these problems. Okay, so anyway. It seems today that the wisdom of the book of Proverbs is almost, it's woefully neglected, and it's almost as though the exact opposite of the book of Proverbs is almost like a code of sorts that some of these people live up to. You know what I mean? That you have to live up to unless you want to be labeled as a bigot or a hater or a racist or any other number of, you know, pejorative buzzwords that the liberals want to use these days, okay? And have you ever noticed how some of these people, these looters and stuff, they say things that just don't make sense. I mean, they literally do not make sense at all. Have you ever noticed that? And I started to wonder why. Why would you say, I think a lot of these people know that what they're saying is not true. I think they really do. Like, if just for one quick example, we could come up with any number of them, but they have, you know, in some of these Ivy League schools that people are going to nowadays, they've got, you know, you're filling out your forms, you want to go to college there or whatever. You know, used to be, it would say, you know, mark your gender, M or F. You know, now they've got like a list of literally 80 different genders that you get to pick from, right? I think people know that that's not true. You can't. I mean, you have to be a complete mental case to think otherwise. So I started thinking, why? Why would people do that? Okay? Why do they deny reality? Why do they say these things? I really think it's because of the really simple answer. It's the way it makes them feel to say these things. Okay? It makes, like, for example, it makes us feel really good to say great and wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? That's worship. You know, we give God the praise like that. And when these people are saying this stuff, I think it really makes them feel good in a certain way because they're giving praise to their God, which is man, and themselves. Okay? It makes them feel good. But we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, of course. And unfortunately, I think a lot of worship in our country today is really based more upon the feelings of the worshiper than it is on the object of the one who is being worshiped and the truth of his word right here. Amen? And even false teachers can say great things about the Lord sometimes, okay? But not everyone is safe unto him, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, okay? So you got today, you know, feelings are running at all-time high. You've got these Black Lives Matter crowds out there, and it's, a lot of them think that they're really doing right. You got these other people, they're tearing down all these, you know, Confederate statues and stuff. It makes them feel very good to do so because they felt offended that the statue was standing up there, okay? These, you know, snowflake college-type kids doing all this stuff. Right. And a lot of them really believe, I think, that they're doing right. But why? It's because their feelings tell them so, not the Word of God. Right? This stuff reminds me today of the book of Judges where it says, you know, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Right. Right.
That's exactly what's going on. And our emotions, they have suffered the same effects from the fall as our desires do. You know, we know because of Adam's sin and bringing sin and death into the world that, you know, our desires sometimes are not what they should be. And our emotions are no different. Sometimes we feel things that we should not. I remember, or I don't remember, I'm not old enough, maybe some of you are, back in the 60s, Elvis come out with a song, you know, how could it be wrong if it feels so right? That was a lyric. Some of you, you know, you remember that song, some of you do, huh? How could it be wrong if it feels so right? That was the attitude of the whole 60s generation back there, I think. But Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Right.
And our emotions are created by God, okay? They're reflections of his character and therefore good. God experiences emotions. The Bible says he gets angry, he experiences delight, okay? He can have his heart broken when his people, you know, turn against him and so forth, okay? So these emotions are good, but they can be made wrong based on the object of that emotion. For example, the emotion of fear, is that a good or bad thing? What do you think? Well, it depends, doesn't it? If we fear man, that's a bad thing. If we're afraid, like Brother Mike said this morning, it's good to be concerned, it's not good to be afraid. If we're afraid of man, that's a bad thing. But if we're afraid of God, that's a good thing. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay. How about joy? The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So it's a command to do that. But, you know, I used to rejoice in sin. And there's a lot of people doing that nowadays. Okay. So it can be good or bad. Matthew 6:34, it tells us that we're responsible for our emotions. That's the passage where Jesus said not to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will worry. I'm not quoting it verbatim, but he says, you know, tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Okay, so worry about today sufficient. Okay, and so that it really tells us that if he says not to worry, then we're not to worry. We're to control ourselves. We are to do like it says in Proverbs 16:32. We're to rule our spirit well. Okay. You might say, well, I can't help how I feel about that. Yes, you can. Because the Word of God says you can. Okay. So we're responsible for our emotions. There's actually some, I know I talked about it once before, I think, but they've actually proven that having constant negative emotions can have real physical effects on your body. They're bad. You know, blood pressure and stress, all that sort of thing. It's confirmed by Proverbs 14:30. It says this, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Your bones. They can have a negative effect on your body, being negative all the time like that, having emotions running wild, okay, without being put in check by the Word of God, you see. So God created emotions. We have to learn to take dominion over them and rule them correctly, to rule our spirits well. And Satan is going to use your emotions against you, I guarantee it. He's going to get you down when you should be up and up when you should be down, okay? How many marriages today have been wrecked, destroyed by negative emotions? Well, you know, she just doesn't make me feel the way I used to. You know, things like that, okay? It's selfish, really. So how do we know then, you know, whether the emotions that we experience are legitimate or not? Well, God's Word, see, is supposed to validate your emotions, not the other way around. Okay? Your emotions do not validate your worship, unfortunately. You're supposed to worship God, a spirit and a truth. I keep saying that. But the good feelings come by worshiping him as he has prescribed in his word and knowing that we have done as he said. That will produce a positive emotion, and that is okay. Like I said, emotions are a good thing. It's supposed to be based on truth. Some of you probably have been to mega churches before. I've been to a couple of them for different reasons, and I remember being there at this one, you know, they had the rock concert going up here, and then they had down in the mosh pit, or I mean the pews, you know, they had these, you know, women wearing tight jeans and you know, painted on clothes shirts that didn't quite come down to their belt, you know, and they're raising their hands and singing the praise songs and stuff. I thought, like, I'm sure they felt very good about what they were doing, but that really wasn't being done according to the Word of God. Okay, so you see what I'm saying on that. If we can't, you know, follow his the simple teachings, does God have anything to say about the way we are about our appearance? Yes, he does. Okay, so if we can't follow those simple things, then how can we follow, you know, anything else? If we can't be faithful in unrighteous mammon, how are we going to be faithful in true riches? Okay. Jeremiah 7, 9 and 10 says this. It says, will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Boy, I think that really describes America today. We do whatever it is we want to do, then go to the house of God and say, we're delivered to do all this stuff. It's okay. You know, we feel good about it. Amos chapter 5. 23:24. I like this verse. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Now, if you do that, I guarantee you'll feel good about it. And that's a good thing, you know. But he says, take away from me the noise of thy songs. You know, I'm sure these people, God's people back then in the Old Testament, they were probably very good musicians. You know, I'm sure they weren't bad singers, but God called their songs noise. You know, I mean, Eddie Van Halen's a pretty good musician, right? I mean, he could play guitar pretty good, but I would think that God calls his songs noise, okay? Because they're not written in accordance with the Word of God. And music is not wrong, of course. It's commanded, okay? But what I'm trying to tell you is that the feelings that are produced by music, because that music is a very powerful thing, produces emotions for us, but those feelings do not validate whether it is right or wrong, okay? I was reading an email from a young woman wrote an email to David Cloud one time, and she was talking about, you know, I go to church and I'm with God's people. We're singing these praise songs, and man, I feel the presence of the Lord. It's an awesome time. I just have this great time at church. But then when I go home and I get in my prayer closet, you know, or I try to talk to God alone, or I try to read my Bible, I don't feel it. It's not there. Yeah, I don't, and he, you know, he had to set her straight that, listen, that you're chasing a feeling, okay? It's not based on that, okay? When you get saved, I don't know about you, I felt great when I got saved. I'm sure everybody does, okay? But I wasn't saved because of those feelings, okay? They came afterwards, all right? And there's nothing, unfortunately, there's nothing in the Bible about feeling the presence of the Lord, at least not to my knowledge, okay? That's kind of the something that the world would like to bring about. You need to follow your heart and all that sort of thing, okay? The world loves to trust their feelings. But Proverbs 28:26 again says, he who trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Okay? So follow your heart. By the way, I have to mention, I know I've mentioned it before, but I'm going to mention it again. I hate the Walt Disney Corporation. They have all the time talk about it. Follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart. It's not right. Don't let your kids or grandkids watch that stuff, please. Okay. By the way, they just came out with their first transvestite cartoon character for one of their movies for kids. You know, of course, don't buy into that stuff. Okay. Everybody has intuition. Our gut feelings can be right or wrong. Our conscience can be either nurtured or seared. Okay. So we need to know the difference between legitimate feelings caused by true biblical faith with, you know, just the modern kind of gimmicks of the age, all right? And many Christians, I think, that would never openly embrace the occult still are getting deceived by it, okay? The occult would, you know, they would teach you, don't think about things, just feel it, you know. Kind of clear your mind and just feel. You know, this Shirley MacLaine kind of junk and Oprah Winfrey kind of theology, like Oprah One Kenobi, I like to call her, because she's just absolutely full of witchcraft, okay? Don't watch that stuff either. Yeah. It's deception, okay? It's of Satan. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. These people are liars. They're trying to get you to do that stuff, right, to not use the brain that God has given you, and just clear your mind and ohm and, you know, all that sort of thing. That's occultish, okay? That's not Christian. And God's word tells us, you can't look within for the answers. Okay, That's, you know, people, you know, again, back in the 60s, oh, I just got to find myself, you know, that sort of thing. You don't find yourself. You need to find Jesus Christ, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
The, and all the, again, all the New Agers, Joel Osteen and Rick Warren and Oprah Wan Kenobi, they say, you know, look within, okay? The basis of these false religions like Buddhism and New Age and stuff, you're going to find your inner light. That's all nonsense, okay? Right. It's all nonsense. So don't excuse false teaching just simply because it gave you a feeling, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, the Bible says. Okay, that's kind of the opposite of just, you know, thinking and feeling. You know, God has ordained sobriety and work and study and that sort of thing, you know, to get physical and spiritual gains. You know, we think it's normal to go to work. You work hard, you get a paycheck. Okay, you go to the gym, you work out, you know, no pain, no gain, right? But then for some reason, a lot of Christians lose their minds when it comes to spiritual things and think that God's just going to, by osmosis, give it to you without any work, any study, okay, anything like that. That's not the way it works. God, a lot of times, does things like that in the natural physical world to teach us spiritual truths, okay? Amen. So, who do you think would not want you to use your mind, God or Satan? It's kind of obvious. We're to rule our spirit well. Okay, the Mormons, that we don't have, I don't think we have too many of them around here. It seems like it's more Jehovah's Witnesses around here than Mormons. But if you've ever dealt with a Mormon, they will give you their Book of Mormon and tell you to read it. And you'll know if it's the Word of God or not by whether you get a burning in the bosom. Has anybody ever heard of that stuff before? That's what they'll tell you. They say, here, you know, you argue with them, well, here, read this Book of Mormon. If you get a burning in the bosom, that will show you that this God's word. Okay? Again, that's what they do. What is that? What are they doing? They're trying to tell you to trust your feelings. Okay? Psalm 39:3, David says, as I mused, the fire burned. Okay? So David had a burning in the bosom, but why is it right for David to do it and wrong for the Mormons to do it? David did it because he knew that God's word was truth, and he was thinking about that truth, and it produced those feelings inside him. The Mormons are doing it to try to determine truth by those burning feelings inside. It's backwards, putting the cart before the horse, you see. By the way, while we're on the subject, there is no such thing as Christian yoga, okay? That's going to upset some people, I think. But unfortunately, you know, you don't get to just take some pagan practice and tack the word Christian on the front of it and make it okay. Okay? It's just the way, you know, it's like, so I'm going to go commit, you know, Christian, I don't know, fornication, whatever it is. You don't get to do that. Okay? God wants people to be redeemed, not false religious practices. He wants them destroyed, not Christianized. You know, in the Bible, when Israelites came across the statue of Dagon or something, you know, they didn't cross out the word Dagon and write Jehovah on it and then bow down and worship this thing. Okay, God wants those things destroyed. Okay, so don't do that. Okay. Anyway, they're teaching you these other religions and stuff. They always want to teach you to get into an altered state of consciousness. You know, God doesn't want that. The true supernatural experiences. I'm not talking about ones caused by the devil. You can get supernatural experiences by going to the devil. But if you want a true one, a true supernatural experience, there's only one way that you're going to get it, and that's through the sovereign choice of Almighty God. Okay, you're not going to force His hand on that. We're never commanded to wipe our brains clean and seek out the supernatural. We're commanded to use the brains that God has given us to study His Word. Okay, God doesn't distribute blessings based on, you know, twisting yourself in a pretzel and all that sort of thing. Okay, Jeremiah 10:2 says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." It's pretty clear. Okay, these other things are ways of the heathen. And all forms of occultism and secret knowledge, the other Freemasonry, Gnosticism and stuff, are to be rejected by a Christian. Okay, I remember going to Christian, you know, concerts and stuff, you know, shortly after I got saved, before I really knew any better. They would use all kinds of gimmicks and stuff to try to get people to accept the Lord. I remember one where they had everybody hold hands, you know, and they would say, okay, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, squeeze your left hand. You know, I guess it's to try to make you feel better about it or something, but it's a gimmick, okay? That's manipulation. I'll tell you another one that's very common that I'm not really a huge fan of is, okay, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, slip up your hand if you want to be saved. I don't think there's anything wrong with bowing your head and closing your eyes, but when it comes to salvation, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. You know, when I got saved, I didn't care who knew it. I didn't want to sheepishly slip up my hand. I hope nobody saw me. I could have ran down the aisle if that's what it was going to take for me to get saved, okay? So we don't need to dim the lights and have the music and stuff like that in order to try to emotionally manipulate people. Okay. So anyway, these are all false methods and gimmicks and stuff. How are legitimate emotions produced then? Well, first of all, read your Bible. The promises in the Word of God can regulate your emotions. For example, Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave thee or forsake thee." If you really, truly believe that, how could that not fill you with great emotions? Knowing that the God who created heaven and earth will be with you and he will not forsake you. Okay, that's a great thing. Second, you could listen to good Christian music in conjunction with a clean heart. That will create great emotions, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. Okay. Yeah, some of the old hymns, you know, like, for example, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," you know, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing, Our Helper, He Amid the Flood of Mortal Ills Prevailing." You used to be able to, you could preach a sermon from a lot of these old hymns. You know, now they're just like, you know, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord." Some of y'all know that there's these brainless repetitions that Jesus told us to avoid, okay? I'm sorry, but listen to good Christian music, okay? Third, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's a very important verse, I think. Whenever you're tempted to turn on the news, like it says here in the Proverbs, "He that is slow to anger is better than mighty." Whenever you get tempted to get angry at that, you can say, no, I'm going to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. God doesn't want me to get angry. He wants me to rule my spirit well. Okay? Depression. There's a lot of Christians suffer with depression today. Whenever you're tempted like that, you say, no, I'm not going to do that. To take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and rejoice always. I say again, rejoice. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So why do you think Paul tells us to think about all these good things? Because thinking of bad things is going to get you down really quick. They're going to cause negative emotions, and you're going to want to act on them, right? But if you think about all these things that I just listed there, you'll be the opposite. You'll be wanting to do good things for that. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We need the fear of God, okay? That's a good emotion to have. And lastly, you know, we ought to feel bad when we sin. Bad feelings are not always a bad thing. Ephesians 4:19 says, this is talking about lost people, you know, that don't know the Lord. It says, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." So whenever these lost people are past feeling, they do these things that they don't care. As a Christian, it should be that whenever you fall into sin, you feel bad about it. But that's a good thing, because that is meant to be a godly sorrow that would lead you to repentance then. Okay. So you must train your feelings to be produced in response to truths from the Bible. Feelings produced on Bible truths are legitimate, but feelings produced on anything else are unreliable at best. Okay. So we must, we must avoid judging the Bible based on what we feel about it. Okay. A lot of people do that today. Whenever this whole COVID stuff started, we had, we weren't having any meetings. We just had a small group of men that were meeting here for prayer. We discussed a big question. Some people brought up how in the Old Testament God would command his people to kill, you know, men, women, and children, and how hard that, you know, to us, that, I mean, I admit, that's a hard question to answer, you know, but some people have taken passages like that and say, well, that just doesn't feel right. I don't like it, so I'm just going to write the Bible off. Okay, that's the wrong response. You shouldn't take the way you feel about a passage of Scripture and reject it. Okay, there could be an answer we haven't thought of. I'll just for those of you that were here on that, I'm not going to get deep into it tonight. But if you remember in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the sons of God commanded the daughters of men, and they brought about the giants, the men of old renown. You know that passage, right? And if you read then, whenever these Israelites were going to go into the Promised Land, they said they went back and spied out the land. They came back and said, "Man, we're like grasshoppers in their sight." You know, there's never anything good said about giants in the Bible. The Bible says there were giants in the earth in those days. King Og was a giant. Goliath was a giant. Okay, and anyway, I just wanted to say, I think that part of what was going on there is that the people that they were killing, and even these men, women, and children, were of the giants, which God never wanted here in the first place. And it's just, I just bring that up to say that there could be a whole lot more going on than what we might see at first. That would be a whole big study to do, but I think there's answers out there if we look into it, okay? Anyway, I'm about close on time, so. Anyway, let's see here. Good feelings should be the result of achieving godly ends, not ends in themselves, okay? God's word is the final authority on what is right or wrong. And what we feel about it is irrelevant, okay? So all these protesters and stuff, as we see this stuff, you know, I don't know how out of control it's going to get. But we're not responsible for their actions. We're responsible for our own. We need to remember then that, you know, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. They've taken a city right now. I think of, what is it, Seattle? You want to be better than them? Rule your own spirit well. And, okay, that's all. I guess you want me to close then. Brother Mike, we'll stand to our faith then, and we'll close in prayer.